Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. It is Easter Sunday. It is the I'm answering these a little bit earlier, so I have a little fewer than I usually do. So I'm going to dip into the Pete mailbag as well. Don't tell him. I promise he'll get over it, even if you do. But today I'm answering these a little bit earlier because we have an entire day of Easter festivities to get to. But I didn't want to skip a show. There's a ton going on. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to update you guys on the situation as I know it, based on some of the reporting and then based on some of the stuff that I have heard. And then in segments 2 and 3, I am going to answer your guys' questions, and we got some good ones. So let's start here. As of right now, Sunday afternoon-ish, Rob Pelinka, it appears, is going to be the guy, there is no shadow executive. It is going to be Rob Pelinka's team and his direction. And it looks like he's going to be running something of a skeleton crew, which is a little bit unfortunate. We'll see as playoff teams start getting eliminated what direction, if the Lakers are going to start, you know, poaching some guys for and girls possibly too front office executive positions. They do need to beef up their analytics department. They need to replace their medical staff. Rob Pelinka, even if Ramona Shelburne says he prefers to work as a lone wolf, I just don't think, frankly, I don't think he's smart enough to do that by himself in this league. And I don't think anybody is really smart enough to go it alone in this competitive A league. So the Lakers, I think what's going to be interesting to watch now that it appears that Rob Pelinka is the guy is they're going to really focus on hiring people to supplement him. And if they don't, and if he just prefers to keep a circle of one, then they're screwed. I think it's disappointing, obviously, to reach this point here where it's him and only him, and that's despite other executives being interested in it. I think the flow of information has been interesting to watch. As I know it, and Pete and I have talked about this previously, but as I know it, basically there are two factions of the Lakers organization. There's the genie half, and then there's the former gym half. And unfortunately, under that former gym umbrella sits Jesse and Joey and even Ryan West. And you know, based on some of the stuff that I've heard, they were kind of isolated. They were just kind of said, okay, go stand over there while the big boys play. And we saw what happened when them drafting Mo Wagner. We saw some of the marginal moves and how those things worked out. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward into this offseason whether everybody who was involved at this point are willing and able to come to some sort of working relationship. The scouting department and Jesse and Joey, like those have been one of the few strong aspects of the Lakers organization over the last few years, and they were kind of isolated away, right? So if you're sitting there at home, you're saying, wait, we had like one thing going for us last year, and it was told to go stand over there. And it would be, there's reason enough there to be a little concerned. And I think one thing that we saw over the last couple weeks or so, a few weeks or so, was that other faction of the organization that was told to go stand over there were just releasing any and every name they possibly could to try to apply some pressure to Genie or to Rob or to Linda Rambis or to even Kurt Rambis to do the right thing here, right? I think those people on that side of the organization kind of recognize, hey, we have a pretty great opportunity. We have the opportunity here not only to obviously catch ourselves and figure things out moving forward, but we have the opportunity here to really fully give this organization a facelift. And, you know, it was passed up on. And I thought what was interesting here was Ramona Shelburne at one point was asked by, I think, John Ireland and Steve Mason on the Mason and Ireland show, hey, what do you think about the shadow executive thing? And she phrased her answer interestingly. She said, I'm hearing it, but with those people who I talk to who make these decisions, it's not going anywhere. So that tells me that somebody within the organization, or maybe outside of the organization, for all we know, were trying to apply some pressure to Jeannie to do what they considered was the right thing, and Jeannie didn't blink. And Rob has been told to stick around, and he's going to be sticking around long term. I think it's the wrong call, but you know what? One thing that we've learned with the Lakers here, every so often, even bad process gets rewarded, right? I thought hiring Magic Johnson was a mistake. It turned out that it was a mistake, but because LeBron was interested in being a Laker and having the opportunity that comes with being a Laker, that they were able to take advantage of that, and he's still here, right? So bad process gets rewarded. And to those of you who are sitting there and saying, no, LeBron wouldn't have come here if Magic wasn't in chat, that's not true, man. It's just objectively not true. That's not to say he would have definitely come with Mitch or Jim, but those weren't the only two options. Once Mitch and Jim were let go, they were gone. That was it. But the Lakers could have brought in another executive. And I think it was just as likely that that other executive convinces LeBron to come to the Lakers as Magic and Pelinka were. So that's kind of based. That's not even opinion, honestly, either. It's just kind of what I've heard in talking to people throughout this entire situation. So, anywho, we will see how Rob handles this, how fans handle this. It's been interesting to see how frustrated fans are. It's funny. Every so often, I would say, you know, one out of every 15 comments is, oh, why are you so negative? And the other 14, though, were pretty loudly, what the F are we doing here? And I have never seen this fan base this frustrated. And you know what? They have right to be. We're going to take a quick second here. And when we come back, I'm going to keep answering or start answering your guys' questions. All right, so the first question here, I believe I already answered it, but I want to go back and circle back here because we have some new information. Alejandro underscore 18 asked, hey, Anthony, love the show. I remember a Woj tweet when the Lakers signed LeBron saying something along the lines that Kawhi's plans remain the same to become specifically a Laker even with LeBron there. What specifically changed? Besides the recent Laker chaos. The Clipper talk started like a month afterwards, I believe. Lastly, what do you think about Twitter user I Got Sources? Says we asked for permission to interview Jerry. So we've already found out that was proven untrue. Okay. Remember in the last segment I said that there are two factions to the Lakers, and how there are and just generally speaking, there are always two sides of a story. What happens, and I said this last week when this came up too, but I think it bears repeating now that we've seen him been proven objectively wrong on one of his quote-unquote reports. Just because you get information, so let's say there's a negotiation between the Lakers and a free agent, right? That agent is going to reach out to everybody who has a platform, and if whoever that agent reaches out to just runs with the agent's version of the story, that's only half of the story, right? And the difference between, you know, people who are not considered legitimate reporters and people who have information, I'm not saying that I Got Sources made this. I don't know anything about the guy. He has me blocked for some reason, but whatever. I don't know this person. I don't know how they operate, whatever. But based on my reading of this situation here is somebody from the non-genie half of the Lakers organization reached out and said, hey, this is something that we think makes a lot of sense, right? And they then say, we're going to try to back-channel this conversation with him and whatever. And they leak this just to apply some pressure to Genie, just to see what the response would be. Because for most people, when you hear the name Jerry West, you think, oh, this guy makes sense. He checks all these boxes. He's a great executive, one of the greatest executives in the history of professional sports. Let's do this. That's great. And the hope is that Genie sees that response and says, okay, if I get so much of this positive response from the fan base that supports my organization, then it makes sense for me to maybe go that avenue, right? Problem is that she saw that response and just said, I don't care. I don't want to work with Jerry West. And based on some conversations I've had with people who are fairly close to Genie Buss, it sounds like she doesn't want to go that route. She values loyalty, and she considers Rob as loyal. It's you know, there's the Kobe connection, and a lot of people have made that connection. But to me, I think what she finds more important here is that given how chaotic this last season was, not just how Magic's tenure ended, but given how last season, how chaotic that was, Rob was one of the only people filling that leadership vacuum. And she developed a trust with him, and now he has convinced her to stick around. And I, you know, I guess at this point, we'll just see how that turns out. Regarding Kawhi and the way that changed. So I think the Clippers made one hire, I think, that really was, I'm not going to say ahead of its time, but it was a great and smart hire. They brought in Lee Jenkins to kind of change up the narrative surrounding the Clippers. And the thing about Lee is he is one of the nicest people on the face of the planet. And he has a whole industry of people who he has been friends with for years, decades even. And as a result, if he says something, if he's going to these reporters and he's saying, look at all these exciting new things that we're doing, and this is why we feel confident that we're going to get Kawhi, and you know, just relay this information out there. That's where, you know, that positive relationship that he has with all of these people is going to work wonders with an organization or for an organization that just desperately needed a change in narrative. And I think there we have it. I'm not saying that's the only thing, and I'm not even saying those reporters who are running with his side of the story here are wrong, right? It might just be that if Kawhi goes there, everything that Lee was selling was actually right, right? I just think that, you know, people are a lot more willing to listen to the changes that the Clippers are making when the person selling them is maybe one of the greatest lifetime or greatest writers of our generation of sports coverage. That's, I think, what changed to answer that question. I don't think anything specifically has changed. I'll get into this here in a little bit. Let's answer one more question though. Shelby D writes, would you guys consider doing a crossover podcast episodes between Locked On Lakers and Laker Film Room? It would be fun to hear Anthony on Laker Film Room. Also, I'm trying to find some silver lining in a scenario where Pelinka is the GM. Do you think Pelinka leans more on Jesse Buss and Ryan West or in analytics in general? Jesse and Ryan, I don't see that, but analytics, I could see that. I think he's a sharp guy, and it's just information. Here's the thing about analytics that old heads just don't seem to understand. Analytics is this taboo word that people use to scare people away from math, right? But that's all it is. It's just statistics. It's just information. And if you have information that helps clarify some of the decisions that you're making before you have to make them, then that's a good thing. And I think Rob Pelinka kind of sort of gets that, especially better than Magic, who, you know, like somebody who understands analytics doesn't proudly say, oh, we got shooting, when your signings were Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, and Lance Stevenson, right? Next question, though, or the next bit of this question, how do you guys think Pelinka approaches his role as GM? He's going to be team president. Well, he'll be vice president or something like that. They created a job for Magic, and I don't think they're going to fill that specific job. Is he a guy who is self-aware of his limitations and will bring in guys smarter than him? Maybe. I doubt it. Even though he may not be well-liked by other executives, can he still be effective? Whether or not I think he can be, I think it's possible. There's a scenario here where he actually winds up being a decent executive who was held back by Magic's chaotic and volatile approach to being team president. I think it's within the realm of possibility, okay? Whether or not I think, that's likely or that outcome makes any sense, that doesn't matter. To be completely honest, it's honestly all the only thing that matters here is that the Lakers do whatever they possibly can to make it so that that scenario actually plays out, right? And to that point, it makes me a little nervous that Magic is already saying, or that we're getting reports that Magic is going to be involved in this offseason. Like, why would any free agent want to hear from Magic right now? Why? If the Lakers were such a great organization to commit to, he would have effing committed, right? but he didn't. And so we'll see how they handle this here. And it would be legitimately funny if that's how all this turned out, that Pelinka just wound up being this prodigious talent as an executive when he was finally had the backpack of weight that was Magic Johnson lifted from his shoulders. But, that's all we have to hope for. I don't know how likely that is. The reputation thing is legitimate. And it's funny because the people who explain the Lakers side of this, the people who, I'm not saying they're doing favors, but if you hear in their analysis that, doesn't it make sense that Pelinka would have an antagonistic relationship as a former agent with other teams? That to me is information that is sourced, right? That's an opinion that is sourced and being relayed out to the public. And when I hear that, I hear, no, this is the decision that we made. Here's why we made it, and here's how we will defend it eventually. But you know what? Even as an agent, you can't have a purely antagonistic relationship with other teams because eventually you have to work with them again, right? As an executive, it's especially true that you cannot be a dick at all times because eventually that's going to come around to bite you. Take Danny Ainge, for example. At this point, if Danny Ainge calls you, more often than not, I would imagine GMs let that go to voicemail, right? And it's from the standpoint of, we saw what he did to Brooklyn. We saw how he prefers to make these trades, right? Yeah, we saw what he did with Cleveland, where he sent Isaiah Thomas over there for Kyrie Irving. And, that wasn't great. So if you pull the wool over a bunch of people time after time after time after time, they're going to be reticent to work with you. And for decent reason. And so for Pelinka here, he needs to develop a relationship or a reputation better than the one that he has with all these other teams, because eventually he's going to have to work with them. These trade scenarios are going to have to work out. And if he doesn't turn that around and nobody is willing to even work with the Lakers, that's half of his potential moves or a third of his potential personnel moves that go out the window, right? You acquire players by free agency, the draft, or trades. And in order to pull off a trade, you have to be able to talk to another team. In order to be able to talk to another team, that team has to be willing to pick up the phone. And based on some of the reporting out there and then some of the things that I'm hearing, these teams aren't all that interested in picking up the phone when Mar Pelinka calls. And it goes the other way too, where teams are calling him and he just like doesn't answer until it absolutely behooves him to. And I just don't think that's a great way to operate as an executive in a league. Yes, it's a competitive league, and the Lakers' chances at a championship directly fly in the face of another team's chances at said championship. But if the Lakers hope to pull this off and actually fulfill this weird narrative where Rob Pelinka actually turns out to be a decent executive, then they're going to have to work with teams, and he's going to have to improve that reputation. All right, we're going to take one more second here, and then when we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. All right, Trip B4C writes, Anthony and Pete, if by chance, however big, the Raptors lose in the first round, doesn't look like it's going to happen, and then Warriors fall to make it to the finals, or fail to make it to the finals, what do you think that does to the narrative of free agents? So on one hand, I could see the people, the camps around these free agents kind of sort of saying, all right, are you sure about heading in this direction? If something drastic like those things happen, right? But a lot of times, these decisions have been made months, if not years, in advance. For example, when LeBron came to LA, he already had projects that were in the works, right, that he couldn't have done as soon as he got here. When he got here, he sent out that tweet, signed his contract, and had projects lined up within a couple weeks or months or whatever, right? Those are projects, by the way, that take at least a year or so to line up. And I think in the case of like a Kawhi Leonard, let's say he made his decision back at the beginning of this year that, yes, Toronto has been nice to me. The organization seems like it's a well-run organization. And the city of Toronto has been really nice, but I want to be in LA. Then whatever the Raptors do this year, short of maybe a championship sways them, but whatever the Raptors do this year, they're fighting an uphill battle. And when I say uphill battle, I mean like a cliff. They're climbing vertically upward to try to convince Kawhi to stick around. And I think for what the Lakers, where the Lakers are sitting currently, they have to hope that some of these decisions were made months ago, and this chaos wasn't enough to convince them otherwise, right? So I think it's more likely that free agents or a free agent decided at the beginning of the season that they want to be a Laker, and then went into the season maybe with an open mind and will maybe follow through on that decision later. I think that's more likely than a player playing out this entire year in a vacuum and then maybe being swayed by playoff performances weeks before they have to eventually make this decision that legitimately impacts not just their next few years over the lifetime of that contract, but potentially the rest of their career, right? Like, we're already seeing it with LeBron, where he wasted one of the last remaining prime years. And that was, you know, he made that decision. And based on my reading of the situation, he made that decision months ago and then came here, and this season was a disaster. And so I think for whoever has maybe potentially decided to be a Laker at the end of this summer or coming up in the summer, they made that decision a while ago. And it's just a matter of whether or not the Lakers' current situation might be enough to sway them and maybe second guess that decision after months of planning. And we'll see. That's why a lot of people around the Lakers and a lot of people around the league seem to think that the Lakers have more of a chance at Kawhi Leonard than you might believe. All right, let's go a couple more. We got one last question here. Anthony, thank you for providing content and thoughtful analysis on the Lakers news of the day. If you are a top five free agent and winning is a priority, LeBron calls you to consider joining him in LA and promises you he will fulfill the length of his contract if you join him. With the young core's limit still a question mark, in the knowledge of your current structure of ownership in the front office, how much longer, if any, would you sign a contract for after LeBron's deal is due to expire? This is a great question. Phenomenal question, Sports Fan 86. I would probably, It depends on the type of player that I am, right? So if I'm Jimmy Butler or if I'm Kemba Walker, I sign a 4-year max deal because there's no guarantee I'm going to get another contract as fruitful as this one moving forward. Okay, but if I'm Kawhi, right, and there's a good chance that after the next couple years, I can sign yet another, you know, extremely fruitful contract. Kevin Durant falls into this category too, right? Klay Thompson a little less so. But if I'm Kawhi or if I'm KD, I probably sign a contract that ends at the end of not LeBron's full contract, not the 4-year deal, but when he can opt out. So that would mean I would sign a 2-year deal and just see how things are playing out. And I that's just generally speaking for if I was a top flight free agent, I would just this idea like I didn't understand Bryce Harper signing a 13-year deal or you know over signing a you know 2, 3, or 4-year deal worth you know $40 million a year as what was reported that the Dodgers offered. I would have taken that short-term contract and then gone back to the well for maybe a longer-term deal after that. For Kawhi Leonard and for Kevin Durant, I would probably sign a 2-year deal if I was hell-bent on being a Laker and hell-bent on whatever. I wouldn't take LeBron's promise as part of my math on this because I there's nobody who I would blame or who I would trust in the NBA to make that decision based off of, given the amount of money and the type of commitment that I would be making as a result of that trust. That's not just a LeBron thing. That's just a general thing. I'm going to take care of myself contractually. And then at the end of this 2-year stint, then we'll recalibrate and see what is best for me moving forward. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see how that grows, how that turns out, right? Like if Kevin Durant leaves the Warriors and goes to the Knicks, is he going to sign a 4-year deal? Like do you want to commit to 4 years of James Dolan? I wouldn't want to, right? If I was Kemba Walker, I would sign a 4-year deal in a heartbeat. But if I'm Kevin Durant, I probably take the next deal that I have, I cut that off at 2 years, maybe have a player option for year 3 and go from there and see how well that coincides with not just the Lakers timeline in this case, but the entire league's timeline. A lot of change. The league is changing and evolving at a pace that, frankly, is really hard to keep up with. And I just don't think it makes very much sense, so long as that remains the case, to always take short-term deals or to always take long-term deals or to ever take long-term deals if you're a good enough player to keep on getting a good contract after that. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This is a little shorter today because of the time that I am recording this, and honestly, it's Easter. I want to spend time with my family. I will be back, though, tomorrow to find something else to talk about. I would imagine we're going to start getting some more news about the direction that the Lakers are going in. The Lakers will have had, by that time, we'll probably have some more details on how these conversations with Tyronn Lue, with Monty Williams, and with Juwan Howard have potentially gone. So I will be around to analyze that, any other new information that we have, and whatever else comes up. Thank you guys very much for sending in your questions. Quick reminder, if you guys have a question, send it in the form of a 5-star review, and I will answer it. And by the way, to those of you who, because I've had a couple of these comments that I find really lame, but it's not that I ask for 5-star reviews for any kind of affirmation of this show that I'm doing. I think it's a pretty good show. I think it can get better. I think I can get better, and I hope that I continue to get better. But it's literally about the algorithm that goes into iTunes and into RSS feeds. It helps the show. It's not for my own arrogance. It's not for my own desire for affirmation. It's literally, it helps this show, and the more that you guys do that, the more resources I'll be able to have to be able to continue to improve this show. That's all that I'm in the business of doing, is continuing to build and develop this show so that it continues to grow and it continues to offer you the best source of daily Lakers analysis. That's all it is. Let's not overthink this. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you tomorrow.